November 17, 2023, it's a lot from Pedro Show.
And Mark, he's always doing something back there that sounds so mysterious. And it's not mysterious at all, you know, when you know what he's doing. Just like those little things, just like simple truth, you know, like he's just, he might take a chord, a major chord, a minor chord, and leave the third out. But yet he says, this is a minor chord, man, you know, so you don't have a minor third in there, so you don't know what it is. You say, well, how do you know it's a minor chord? Well, that's what it is, a minor chord with the third out. Well, he feels that way, so there you go. And when he plays the thing, man, it will just be in the right place and voice the right way to have that minor feel. But still, it's not a minor because it's no third, it's not there. Slow things like that, you know.
One piece without a push. Yeah.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Friday. Start off with John Coltrane talking to August Bloom about Thelonious Monk leaving out thirds. June 15, 1958. Yeah, still sounded minor. How do you do that?
Well,
there's a trip to it, Mr. Coltrane explains. Then we have Rick Waver, Stone Fruit. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me. Let's get on my Pedro show. Rick Waver, welcome back aboard, Rick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, absolute. And love this new stuff. Tell me about it. How'd it come about? Where'd you get it done? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, Graveyard Spiral, second track on that one. I think that contains the first notes. Did this live set in headphones on September 7th last year at the Stone Fruit Supper Club, a place that Coons and I have been to as well. And the network just started glitching out on me, and just unpredictable results on the old ivory keys there. So that kind of became the root of that song and sort of the start of the album, I guess. Those were the first notes played, but just a sort of uncontrollable MIDI controller glitch. Just built it from there.
And would you say happy accident?
Yeah, exactly. Sort of baffled experience where your hands are moving and you're in pseudo control of the situation, but also just outside of yourself listening to the madness go on. Beautiful, beautiful moment.
Yeah, sort of like a skateboard moment when you're really going, when you're careening, right? Not all calm.
Well, I tried to pick up skateboard and it didn't go so well. Took a lot of falls. I think it was more in that moment of the fall, and you know when you learn to fall well, you know, you kind of lean into that, realizing you're not a dancing man or skateboarding man, so take a tumble and just roll with it.
Right, and shit can be theoretical for only so long before you have to take that tumble to test out some technique.
That's true. Got to fall on your ass a couple times.
Theory
and practice.
Right. There was a sign in last tour in Atascadero, learn by doing. And it was the sign out of town. They should have had the sign going into town.
It's too late at that point.
Okay, so once you got that baby going, this germinated the seed.
Yeah, the seed of the stone fruit.
Yeah, stone fruit seed. Well, but and, you had plans for getting something going anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, that thing was part of a live set. I was trying to do more. It sort of always starts out that way where I feel challenged to the task of just doing a one-track album or a two-track album or a three-track or four-track, and as it ended up like with this one, it always ends up like 100 damn tracks. So I failed time and time again, and it all kind of feeds into that moment where you're falling off the skateboard and about to hit the asphalt. So I think that most of this stuff sort of, yeah, that's kind of the point it exists in, I guess.
So was there like demos done, or was it just a series of skateboard accidents?
Yeah, well, just that. I mean, I guess that one, and then most of it was composed first, whether that was in the head or in notes or notation or just guitar tabs or what have you, before really anything else was played. And then, I'm pretty slow at this stuff, so, I don't really demo too much. Normally the demo just becomes the main track.
You know, I had Joey Warnerker on, and he said, you know how it is recording with Pete Townsend a lot? I said, no, not really. Well, you actually replace shit from his demo. His demo becomes the backbone of the tune, and so as he brings cats in, they're just replacing the shit he did first.
Yeah. I think in this case, it's probably demo after demo. It's just overdubs of demo takes, and it's like, well, time is short, so most of the time, a lot of first takes make it in.
What about this baby here, the Gray Ace?
The Gray Ace? How did that one? Yeah, I think that one I just wanted to really do some flatline fun for, I think I wanted it to be longer, that first part, but ended up trimming it down to 3 minutes. Let's see. Thought was to have it like maybe 15, 20 minutes like that, just kind of get into the weeds a little bit.
So this was like when you were still in the 1-2 track, we'll make the whole album idea?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that one's probably the most minimal because it's like two drum kits, well, samples. Might recognize a couple samples in there. And like a lead keys track, lead bass track, and a couple overdubs, at least at the first part. But then by the end, it's, I don't know, it sounds like some kind of prog rock thing.
No, it's really good. If it was prog, I'd be puking, and I didn't want to puke. Let's listen. Let's have the listeners listen.
We'll be right back.
few unseen grudges. In fact, I just feel ill and I'm hanging around till afternoon. Right now I'm mostly casting shadows. Life is short and unforgiving. I only fear the living. Life is short and unforgiving. Sent to a friend from some garden with a note saying sorry that I couldn't be there. I know you're lonely and it's just not fair. I could really use a pick-me-up. I'm not complaining, I'm just always tired. Life is short and unforgiving. I only fear the living. Life is short and unforgiving. Something like my mother's cooking. It made me miss myself in early morning. Well, I'm not the type to think half full. I think it's what's left, so I'll enjoy it. Oh, I saw a dime font that page full stop incorporate the bottom half as base price deep word printing. It meant nothing. Life is short and unforgiving. I only fear the living.
breaking loose at the headquarters of international travel. Get off your ass, get out, it's getting better. Off.
in this song.
South Pole, Africa, East of the Hemisphere, living in the center here.
Live from Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music. Rick Weaver, The Gray Ace. Then brand new from Petra Hermanova, Black Glass. Scurry Dot. I just got a bunch of tunes from him. Gideon over in Holland. Empty Days Ahead. Great bass, man. But the bass is so little on this stuff. Shows to go. Evan Dano. Evan is back in the ring. Even though it's kind of a scary song, Fear of Living, he's still breathing. And he's, kicking like Kato. I think he's living in Brazil now. So I wish him the best. Wheels of Giants after that. No Reply for Today. Circus Devils. Bob Pollard. Got a new release. Oh, yeah, new Guided by Voices. Hey, getting better, Circus Devils. In the Race is on. The King is Dead. Guided by Voices. Talk about prolific. Position Normal from their new album. This is part 5 of 10. Whistle Conversion. You didn't think there was such a thing, did you? Yep. And then this great collab here between the Model Home Cats, Napa, and Pat Kane, Stanley, Paige Turner. Finally, Rick Weaver. Escalation of Commitment. In Lightness, right?
Yeah, Escalation of Commitment. Sorry. I messed up. I think the frequency dropped there.
That's okay. When do titles come in? Are they at the end of the game or at the beginning of the composition or somewhere in between or different times?
That one was title first and song second, yeah. But it varies.
Okay. Yeah, I always ask that because I kind of have to start with the title. It helps give me focus. And so this guy, baby was like a Watt thing where you, okay, I'm going to commit.
Yeah. Escalation of commitment. The idea of that is that, something's going wrong and you just keep feeding into it and pouring your resources and time into it. So it's another one of those skateboard accidents, I guess.
Are you familiar with the Buddy Rich bus tapes?
No.
Oh, man, I got to flow those to you. This is like in the 80s where he's reduced to playing with, in his terms, reduced. Although Nels did meet one of the Bone players, and he said they were bad. Not a good bad, but... Anyway, he gets into this thing like you can't plant your foot like a man and play it like a man. This kind of thing about being unsteady. Man, I had to do a gig last night. Do you find this when you're doing improvisation things?
What's that?
Like scariness to commit?
No. Maybe not.
Pull it out and stick it out there. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I guess there's a time where I just pulled back. Like in Baltimore, I was on stage with some people that I was noodling around with and. I just had a total shutdown, just a rejection of being involved in it and sort of took it another road. And I think that might have been the last time that I improvised in public with people. So I guess that does happen.
I had a bad reaction one time. I could see my truck outside the hatch, and I thought I was hurting. I was part of this thing that was hurting the gig goer so bad that I did not want to be part. And so I had my bass, but it was my amp and shit. So I just ran for the truck, went back to Pedro.
That's what I should have done. I think I just sat there stunned. I pretended I had a head wound because I had some ketchup up there.
Okay.
Looked around stunned and didn't hit the drum once after that.
Whoa. I mean, it is scary about that kind of thing. And then you hear about all this other stuff, you know. Jack Wright wrote a whole book about it, you know, leaping from the pole and all this. And I mean, other ways it's like, whoa. Yeah, if I only had a script, you know. But, okay, so escalation of commitment.
Yeah,
I like that idea, man. Like, we're going to do this.
Yeah, just keeps feeding into itself. I guess that's sort of why that one's modal. I've been trying to break out of the modal songs a little bit.
Well, you were talking about edited. Do some of these guys get just totally remade?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like cut rope, man, for this wrong place. We got to,
Yeah, they're definitely chopped up and all that. There's a lot of chopping up going on, chopping wood. I tried with this album to put more acoustic stuff in there, but I think I failed pretty miserably.
Somebody was telling me, well, I remember my wood teacher in junior high, Mr. Bowman, holds up both hands and there's only 7 fingers. Today's lesson, class safety.
Yeah. Okay,
but
oh, yeah.
The other thing besides that was measure twice, cut once.
Measure twice, cut once.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put the wood back. With music, we're a little more flexible that way.
That's true.
Well, definitely. Maybe not, because if it fucks with the fucking escalation of the commitment to the concept, yeah, whoa. Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, November 17, 2023, Dish Wap, Pedro's your special guest, Rick Weaver. Hold tight for hour two. Learn how to talk, what? November 17, 2023, second hour, Wap for Pedro's show.
I'm so father in a waking vision. This morning he was standing on the deck of a ship with no crew, traversing a throbbing, turbulent, limitless sea. The hiss of waves. You were slumbering in lands that will remain dark. To ecstasy in your lonesome body. Killed in foreign lands. The king rejoices the quiet stars as they fire. I tell you, body has been wrong against the is return.
kitchen, feeling for the summer food.
The grace.
The strength it takes to
push up through the terror, the anger, the fire and uncorrupted by man-made toxicity unaffected by man-made masculinity. You uncovered my emotional truth. You're gentle, but who knew?
I am too.
Pedro Shostov, second hour. Coons and Weaver. Of course, I didn't see that here. Annie Patter. And, of course, it's a collab. That's why there's two names. Jess Joy after that. Finally Blooming. Marty Stern. She's back. Earth Eater. Anti-Industry with Judder. Bronson Caves. This is Dezo jamming with the Backbiter people. Paul Rossler. Record. Red Sun. Finally, Rick Weaver. Graveyard Spiral. Yeah. Tell me about the collab.
Yeah, yeah. That was the one where Coons and Weaver kind of became more of a band than just the two of us. This one, Children of Samaria.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of our Steely Dan moment.
The Dan.
Although I don't know if anybody we collaborated with was, I don't know what they thought about it. You know, when the final product dropped on the streets, just radio silence from all involved. So I don't know if we did it right or not. But yeah, Coons wrote all the text for that one, Children of Samaria. And just different vocalists were invited, myself included, to do improvised or melody or spoken word or however they wanted to approach the vocal delivery. From there, we just took the a cappella vocals and arranged music around it. So it had a very, click-free, meter-free rubato feel to it. So that was
Tail actually waving the dog. Yeah.
It was very thrilling. I love building arrangements from the ground up like that. It's kind of a state of confusion, keeping up and really learning sort of the nuances of the vocals and all. So that was a thrill.
Yeah. Testing out the conjecture. Somebody gave me a fucking Dan book and story from the Dan book. They're asking Chuck Ray, well, they're not. They're telling him, no slapping. So he turns so he turns around. And he slaps anyway. They just can't see it. So did you, any kind of those moments with you guys?
Yeah. I don't know. I think we try to rattle each other's cages a little bit, just as part of the prankster quality of Coons and Weaver, you know. So
yeah,
but we're both pretty permissive parents of our own material, so there's no slap on the wrist after some bass slapping, you know.
What about shit on the floor? This is another thing I learned from the book, was so much shit. Like, if you hear one guitar solo on a Dan song, there's at least 35, 40 of them on the deck.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, Alan Holdsworth and Rick Derringer. I mean, Larry Carlton, all these kind of hot. Yeah. No, nobody was. It wasn't the name game with those kids.
And a million takes of Michael McDonald yelling "Peg" too.
Right. But you know, the one taker though is Jimmy Page's favorite one, the Reelin' in the Years. Actually, it's the second one because the engineer forgot to hit record.
Oh man!
And wow. This guy, Elliot Randall, he talks about it. The only coaching he got, it was Donald Fagen. He said, "Feel the blues." And you could tell that he's like on the guitar, on the piano riff, right? Ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da, and then he starts. And get this, here's the other trippy thing about that. There was no guitar amp in the studio, so he did that thing through an SVT, turned up all the way.
Nice.
You know how people are so into gear and shit.
It might have been chasing that feeling after that one taker.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know somebody who had a bald spot slapped on the back of his head. Tell me about this Graveyard Spiral.
Yeah, that's that sort of root one of this whole thing. That's the one that's that was probably I forget a longer just improvised piano take, and that's one where the song title came after. Based on the flight maneuver, the flight, you know, the plane going into a graveyard spiral. So again, sort of in that half between the fall and being along for the ride, you know.
Yeah, but even when you're born, you're starting that graveyard spiral.
Yeah, yeah. We're born. I think we're born with what, fear of falling and loud noises. So
yeah,
we never really
yeah.
lose those two fears.
Okay, so. A little happier. You get this. Give me this tune, Crooners. maybe it's not happier. When I think of crooning, I think of Bing Crosby. I think of meeting Les Paul and him tell me about being in his trio. And I just wanted him to put his name on this bass I got. But he talked to me for a couple hours. The two guys in his band looked at me like, you motherfucker. He put his buttermilk donut on his whammy bar. And he just, you know, I went in there at soundcheck time, you know. And he's just a beautiful man. But let's listen to Crooners.
Crooners always sing close. Crooners sing closer than most into the microphone. They sing close. Their coarse hairs grate against the screen. They penetrate the inner sanctum of a microphone. They sing close into the microphone. Communication is a one-way street headed in the direction of my microphone.
Stiff sheath foreboding, operates the blade with gutta percha, to keep the butcher calm. Slabs as they stupor through steam. prepped to stammer with the tingle of electronarcosis. Clotting throat after throat of paramours broilers. Wrapped out, the subconscious floods the dreamer with pain. A pinch of bad weather soaks the exclaimer with the dream of tears. To keep the butcher calm, his blade involved, the beast subdued, moves right down to.
For Pedro show off air, we're talking about crooners, people. I talked about Bing, but he's way down on the list. that chunk of music started with Rick Weaver doing crooners. Snore after that with Drudge. Ott out of Texas, Pseudogammy. Steve McKay and the Blue Prostitutes, A Complete Skull, live from Caesar's Palace, October 16, 2007. Finally, Rick Weaver, Cross the Throat. Whoa. Start with crooners.
Yeah, crooners is that's a redone song. That's from an older album, and I just wanted to play it a little bit more straight. The version on the other one was like a cappella with some tape effects and tape ambience around it. So I wanted to do it a cleaner, straight shot. It's pretty much just my love of crooners. We're talking about Whispering Jack Smith.
He's really happening.
And he's an interesting case because it's almost the crooning is out of necessity, and then he finds a technique out of it, and then you have this moment with the crooners where the technology is catching up to the style, or the style. It's another one of those chicken or the egg scenarios, but. The beauty of the microphone is gives the ability for the crooner to exist, so that quiet singing style. So always love that. Always trying to rope a couple friends into some collaborations along that line. We'll see how it goes.
But what about the fucking using your fucking mouth? Joe Walsh, Rocky Mountain Way, Pete Frampton. Show you the way. I think Mike Baghetta was telling me some slide guy started that. He would put the fucking pipe in his mouth and used.
Nice. Yeah.
But yeah. About the technology kind of doing the thing.
That's true. Yeah. It builds from there for sure. Yeah, you got all your vocoders and auto-tune and voice boxes and everything. I like that.
I'll tell you,
there's no end to it.
Mr. Tom out of Black Moth Super Rainbow, he told me the vocoder changed everything about the way he felt about music. He said once he got on that, he could, it was like the perpetual chew toy. You know, think of yourself as a forever puppy, just gnawing on that fucking chew toy.
Yeah. That's how I feel about the four track cassette. I just, I'm just a sucker for it.
What can you tell us about Across the Throat?
It's more about, the animal industrial complex.
Yeah.
So without getting too ethical about it, because if you listen to lyrics, it's kind of garbled in there. That's one where maybe the concept, the lyrical content came first.
You had to flesh it out with some music. Flesh it
out. Yeah. Yeah, and then I always like if I could play the bassoon, I would play the bassoon, but I always get stuck in all of the solo stuff with the bassoon solo or two. I think there's like two or three on this album. So
have you ever been to Barcelona?
I have not.
Okay, Mr. Gaudi, they're still working on that fucking Sagrada Familia, right? Church, and most of the time you see angels rocking on harps. Not there. They're rocking bassoons.
Nice. Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, November 17, 2023 edition. Wap Peter, so special guest, Rick Weaver. Hold tight for hour three. November 17, 2023 is the third hour. Wap for Pete Rose Show.
No time could possibly arrive. Like a gold, the liberties of the balance seas. Our thought is merely happening, so I dream of counting two.
Pedro Show, starting off third hour. Fire Tools. This is a Rick Weaver remix. It's now safe to turn off your pewter. Post-homo hubris jazz with side one excerpt, courtesy of Randolph Eugene, Graham Ward on the last episode. Rusk with part one of Bamboo Shirt. And finally, Timepiece, Rick Weaver. Timepiece, interesting tune. Tell me about it.
Yeah, that was one of the early ones on the album, too. I was prepping it for a set in San Francisco. I probably play live about average of 0.5 times a year in the last 10 years, I guess. But had like, I don't know, 5 or 6 gigs last year. It was a windfall.
Wow, you're on tour.
Yeah, basically. I called it as such, you know, tour 2022, even though everything was disparate and months apart. But did a return show to San Francisco, so I was, you know, excited about it because the first one had actually gone well, which is a rare sighting in a Rick Weaver solo career. But I don't know. Yeah, I just got distracted by things and didn't pull it off, but song came together in the studio after that.
And this Fire Tools.
Yeah, Fire Tools. So that's Angel Markloid. She's mastered like last probably 3 or 4 things I've been on. A lot of the Coons and Weaver stuff. This Stone Fruit album, and she does remix albums for her albums, and asked me to do a remix, and I guess instead of a remix, it's kind of a blend of taking her stems and just adding a cover version of the song and rearranging the order of things a little bit. Some more of that chopping wood without a theory or whatever we're talking about.
Yeah, particle just board.
Going crazy at the log.
You know, Is that her on all the stuff, or does she have a full band?
That's her on all the stuff, yeah, for the most part. I think there's, you know, she's hired soloists and stuff. There's some mighty, mighty sax solos on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name or if it's a regular collaborator or not, but for the most part, yeah, just solo work, which is pretty impressive.
And, what's
and,
your...
and at an alarming rate for how detailed and laborious it sounds, you know.
Yeah, what's your philosophy, if you have one, on remix? Should they sound like the original tune?
It could, I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess mine's kind of a gray area because it's a cover song, and I think it kind of sounds like the original tune in that sense. It really retains the sort of essence without, and chord structure and all, without deviating too far, but at the same time, there's certain aspects that are a little unrecognizable, maybe not.
Yeah, because some people, you know, I've heard all across the board on that. And what about Agave Brothers?
Agave Brothers. So, yeah, Agave Brothers, I'm going to paraphrase here. They have a whole manifesto, the Agave Manifesto, which is, I think, more or less play really seriously and don't play serious at all, you know. Have fun and so I don't know. I'd actually have to, like, I feel like I did that very poor justice right there.
And
typing on it.
When you mean having fun, it's not the Weird Al Yankovic
kind of. Yeah. I would recommend the manifesto look up instead of me paraphrasing, because I'm gonna botch it real bad. But
okay.
Yeah, they did this album with they claim to be two fried laptops, and it's just each of them playing MIDI tracks on laptops, maybe playing on a keyboard or on some controllers. So I just really, for a long time, wanted to build a larger arrangement over it, and they said yes. So.
And that's Me, May, Ma. Let's listen.
Me.
1.
Why should we make trouble? Why should we make trouble? Why should we make trouble?
I follow her school and say,
why should we make trouble? Why should we make trouble? Why should we make trouble?
Crayons are yellow and red and blue.
Why should we make trouble? Well, we're told that we should cooperate with the authorities.
These are strange times, my friend.
I learned that wanted to make me.
You ever hear of the police department?
Yeah, Paul, I've heard of them.
They can be wicked.
It's a criminal in uniform.
I'm thinking about joining up next meeting. Got the word a few days ago from Frank Baker. I'll introduce you to him.
Be the worst. Security guard.
What do you think of the outfit? Politically, I mean.
It's a criminal in uniform.
They're about as well intentioned as a gun in the ribs.
The police department, you must be thinking of some other group.
I admire you as a police officer, particularly your adherence to violence as a necessary adjunct to the job. But there is another sort of police abuse. I think we all suffer more or less. And we suffer at the hands of good policemen. Decent policemen. Policemen doing their duty.
You always hear someone talking about police brutality. What is police brutality?
Free citizen is always more of a nuisance to policemen than a criminal. I don't want you to think that I'm an anarchist. I'm against the police. On principle.
You know what security guards are like. Shoot, shoot, shoot first. And still argue about whether you can come in.
Well, there's something about being ticketed and numbered. Gives the man the feeling of being a piece of baggage or a convict.
The first requirement for any security guard is to be totally insecure.
I don't want you to think that I'm an anarchist. I'm against the police. On principle.
You hear the term police brutality used and you attach some gruesome picture to it.
You always hear someone talking about police brutality. What is police brutality?
Everything a policeman does, a police brutality.
I mean, who else needs to dress like a riot control cop so that he can write down your name and tell you where to park your car?
Rudeness, undue force, neglect of duty, or whatever. Police brutality. Some factions of our society destroy public faith and constituted law and authority.
Amoral, incompetent, and unfit for command.
Don't start trying to do the right thing, boy. You haven't had the practice.
We'll always have incidents like this because we have one big problem in selecting police officers.
What's that?
We have to recruit from the human race.
Walter Sobchak. This is my associate, Jeffrey Lebowski. We came to talk about little Larry. May we come in?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Yes, it is.
to give the impression that we were police exactly. We're hoping it won't be necessary to call the police. But that's up to little Larry here. Who's it, Larry?
Initiative.
bigger than a closet.
Music for this edition, Agave Brothers with Rick Weaver doing Me, May, Ma. Started the chunk off. Then we had the Back to School Suite, a
Criminal in Uniform, the 2023 edition. Is This Your Homework? Exploring the AV Department During Lunch by Mini Mutations. Finally, this is from you, Lazy Magnet, the thrill of your touch. Lazy Magnet, enlighten us.
Yeah, Lazy Magnet is a friend and collaborator, Jeremy Harris, and he, I don't know his full process off the top of my head, but he had built these piano compositions around sort of random chants on a keyboard or sequencer, and then Sakiko Mori played these piano in a more formal studio setting with, you know, kind of translated those random things. And so, again, just sort of the same route as the Agave Brothers, seemed like it would be fun to add some bells and whistles around the basic track, the raw composition.
And what's next for you?
Right now? Actually, Coons and Weaver, we met up for the first time in maybe 9 or 10 years in the same room together, and we got nothing done.
Whoa.
But well, we shot a promo for our country album. We got a country album, 30 country classics. So we did a sort of time life promo in the basement. No music was made together, but that's already in the pipeline anyway, I guess. In our separate little cubicles, and him in the heartland and me here in South Texas. And another solo album. I don't know. I think it'll be a sequel to this one a little bit in terms of the approach, but maybe not. I'm trying to give it enough space in between so it deviates enough. And then what else? There's one other thing. That must be it. It's clean living over here.
Okay. The Coons and Weaver thing, you guys recorded all that stuff at separate locations, right?
Yeah. This one is getting back to the basics a little bit. So Coons wrote sort of, he covered 30 country songs from the 1980s. Recorded the vocals and sent them to me over memo form on the iPhone. So, and now I just got to build it up from there, and he's building up some aspects of it too, and kind of sharing the co-arrangement on that one.
So he comes back, they're like guide tracks, and then he comes back for the keeper vocal?
No, that's it.
Just, oh, that's around. It. That's okay.
Spoken word. Yeah. Nice and simple.
Okay. Yeah. And, iPhone-ian quality.
Yeah. M4A. Yeah, I don't know M4A. What file for it. That's the file format. And oftentimes it's very confusing because his home address is the file name if he doesn't rename it. So I have dozens of tracks that are named after his home address. And I got to kind of figure out what country song he's referring to, you know.
And about your solo record. What kind of approach this time?
Sort of like what we were talking about with the albums. The album title really comes first. So this one's called Evergreen. I got it mostly composed, like same process. And I'm not much of a symbolic person, superstitious or anything, but I made a point to play some of the first notes on the September 7th, 2023, again at the Stone Fruit Supper Club. So I don't know. I guess I've engaged myself in either a ritual or a routine or a force of habit at this point. But
an evergreen versus deciduous?
Evergreen, maybe more evergreen like
like perennial instead of season.
A little like softball, yeah, perennial softball topics, you know.
Yeah.
None of the hard stuff, nothing topical, no animal industrial complex.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. When do you think it might arrive?
Used to think it's 6 months, and normally it takes a year. I get slower and slower with this stuff, so maybe 10 years.
Well, look, the invite's out. As soon as you get it done and you think it's ready, please come back on the show, play it. We can talk about it like this.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you do. Please, Rick, keep on keeping on. Absolutely. And also the thing you're doing with the collab with the Brother Coons. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be the title of the record, is that fucking address.
I know.
Okay. It's people, it's been the November 17th, 2023 edition of What Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.